Thank you all for coming.
Amen. We want to welcome everybody back here to church. Amen. Symbol Faith Baptist, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Quick announcements before we get to today's study. Amen. It sure is a blessing to see all of you that are here at church. We're glad to see you here at church on time. We're glad to see you not forsaking the assembling of yourselves. Amen. And you guys are going to know the scriptures that we're going to take you to provoke you in love. Amen. So let's go over some quick announcements before we get started. Just want to take you to our church website. As you guys know, this is our calendar tab, so you can know what's going on with your church weekly, and so y'all don't forget what we have planned. Amen. So last Saturday, yesterday, we had a great time soul winning. We woke up a little late, amen, but we made it. We got here to the church house, try to reach out to some of our members, amen, in love, telling them, come on out, let's serve Jesus. But that's all right. We ended up going ourselves, my wife and I, to Edge Hill Lane. We finished up, we're almost done with the Mainsail Road, if you will. We finished Mainsail. So we finished up Edge Hill Lane yesterday. Here's a picture that I like to post just to encourage our members to keep us in prayer. So you guys may have seen it. And if you drive on Oceanside Boulevard, there's that little veterinary right there on the corner with the Mariscos restaurant. That's that street, Edge Hill Lane. I just want to give you guys a quick testimony, as well as my wife. She can come up here too to share with you guys of what took place yesterday. As some of you guys know, my wife recently had a foot operation to do some things. And yes, she's in a little pain, but it's not as much. But I just want to encourage you with Katie's testimony, if she can make her way up here, that didn't hinder her from wanting to go soul winning, from wanting to go evangelizing. It didn't hinder her from working for Jesus. And we both are going to just share with you guys a quick testimony of what took place yesterday when we availed ourselves to his service. Guys, we knocked on all the doors at Edge Hill Lane. There was an elderly lady, a grandmother, who lost her grandson. And she was so in tears and joyful that we knocked on her door. We were able to minister and encourage her to trust Jesus Christ, not only for her salvation, but for the comfort and peace. We knocked on a lot of other doors, had a lot of great conversations, but there was one door in particular, friend, that was very powerful. And here's what happened. We knocked on that door, and the lady, she came through. She was having some work done in the background. And just 1 week ago, her husband had committed suicide. And guys, she was so overwhelmed with joy that we were there. My wife ended up embracing her, just giving her a hug. And guys, the Lord allowed us the opportunity to meet a need in that person's heart because of a tragedy she's going through. But what if we decided not to go soul winning? What if we decided, you know what, I'm too tired. I woke up too late. What if we said, oh God, maybe tomorrow someone will do it. Would that person have had that opportunity to interact with the gospel in us? Maybe not. So today, I just want to encourage you with Katie's testimony right now, that guys, God can use you if you avail yourself to his work of service, and that is evangelism. There are broken people out there just like this lady who have a loss going on, who have something on their life, but he wants to use you to go bring his news to them, but he can't if you don't avail yourself. So Katie, can you share a little bit about your testimony yesterday, your experience, please?
Yesterday we went to go soul win, and we decided to go down this one street it was a shorter street, and it wasn't as, you know, high of an incline because, you know, both of my toes are still kind of recovering. So we kind of took it easy going up the hills and down the hill, but it's crazy how, you know, the Lord kind of puts it on your hearts at times to go in certain areas, because if we didn't go on that street, we wouldn't have seen, you know, minister to that grandmother who lost her grandson. And we weren't able to have good conversations and just share the gospel with Catholics, and them being pretty receptive. And then the second to last house was the woman by the name of Shantina. She She was, you know, had the door open. So I, when I went in there, I kind of knocked on the inside a little bit and then just shared, you know, hi, you know, we're Simple Faith Baptist Church, and the usual that we usually say. And she came out to the door and she just looked at us and she just started to tear up. And then she shared with us that her husband died recently. And that she's just grieving and she's very just broken right now. And she felt that us being there was a sign for her, you know, of the Lord just trying to get to her heart. They just moved here about a year ago and they don't have any family or friends. They both like worked from home, so they don't really have much support around them. So I asked her if she wanted a hug because she was just starting to break down. I just, you know, I can't imagine going through that and knowing that, you know, my husband had passed away. I don't know what I would do. I'd probably be in a broken state as well. So I offered her a hug and just kind of held on to her for a little bit and loved on her. And we just shared the gospel with her and told her that, you know, maybe the Lord put us here for a reason to just minister to her and love on her. And we just told her literally a few neighbors up was the grandmother who lost her grandson. We were able to also witness to her and as she was kind of starting to break down as well. And it was a blessing to go out there. And, you know, if I wouldn't have gone out there because my toes were hurting, you know, or they were swollen or they started bleeding, you know, we wouldn't have been able to have that moment with that woman, because I don't think Carlos would have had that kind of moment with a woman. So I think it's good that we go in pairs of, you know, female and male, so that if there is a woman or of a man, you know, we're able to encounter them and be able to love on them, you know, in a certain way that another person can't. And so it was just a blessing to be able to go out there, push myself, even though, you know, it was starting to hurt a little bit, but we took it easy. And then we went down to the pier and we were able to, Carlos brought the piano chair for me and we went out there, we parked close by and I just sat down and I was, you know, people were more receptive of me sitting down, holding the sign and passing out flyers than standing up. So it was really, really funny. Oh yeah, there I am. So I don't know if they saw like maybe pity on me or something. I don't know. But I had a lot more people taking the tracks, a lot more conversations with people. And then there was this homeless guy that came by and he was like talking about some crazy stuff, telling me like some words in Muslim, you know. And I was like, okay, all right, you know. And he's like, I'm Muslim. And I was like, all right, okay. Then all of a sudden he changed his mind and he didn't believe in anything and started, you know, cursing and doing some other stuff. So I was like, well, you know what? Here's a flyer if you would like to read it. You know, it talks about salvation and can help answer those questions that, you know, you might have. And so he took it and I'm like, make sure you read it. He's like, I'm going to read it. I was like, okay, you have a nice day. So it was cool being able to witness to people. And a guy literally passed me a few times and came back and he actually took the flyer the third time that he passed by. So yeah, just a blessing going out there and being able to witness, even though, you know, I'm in my time of, you know, healing it for my toes and in pain, you know, it's nothing for the Lord, you know, just being out there for 1 hour, you know, is one of our 1 hour of our time is nothing compared to the rest of the day. So, appreciate your guys' prayers and continue praying for us and hopefully come out with us also.
Bye. Amen. Thank you, sister. Katie, mama, amen. Love you. So, church, I want to just encourage you. You guys know the verses that we've been mentioning to every gathering that we've been getting to recently. Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. Amen. We're going to remind you guys in love. The Bible says here, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So guys, it is the year 2023. Some of you have not been soul winning with us yet. Guys, it is time to start working. It's time to get busy. It's time to get serving for Jesus. It's time to get busy working for Jesus. Because as we see the day approaching, look at what the Bible says, it's coming sooner. In other words, every day that you wake up, another day of life and breath and promise, it is one day closer to you meeting your Savior and the judgment seat of Christ. And he wants to find you laboring for him. He doesn't want you, he doesn't want to find you lazying around, if you will, from him. And so guys, if my wife can endure, push through, we can meet her need with a simple chair so she doesn't have to stand and passing out tracts. Guys, what excuse do you have today, friend, from soul winning, getting involved, working with us to reach out to lost souls, let them know that there's hope in Jesus, and that's it. Couple hours of your Saturday. Amen. So you guys already know we're going to keep provoking you in love. We're going to call you guys. We're going to reach out because we care enough about you to remind you. And today it's going to go hand in hand with our sermon about living in this manner of a tradition, or if you will, the manner of living in which God commands you to follow after those that are over you in the faith. Amen. So again, guys, keep us in prayer. I know some of you guys can't because you work, but some of you don't work and y'all can work with us for Jesus. So please try to provoke yourself. Let's get up. Let's sleep earlier. Let's wake up on time. Let's get busy working for Jesus, because there are people that God wants to use you and not me or Katie. He wants to use you to reach to them, but he can't if you don't show up, So you got to show up. Amen. So with that said, we had a great time, and guys, I'm excited. Also, just want to remind you, we got our new prayer cards, amen? So right there on the on the table, there are English and Spanish prayer cards. When you go to the store, you finish buying groceries, you finish paying your gas, just give the clerk a card and just say, hi, I want to leave you with this prayer card. Our church loves praying for people. We want to let you know we're here for you, and it plants the seed of the gospel. There's a prayer for salvation on the back. In the modern day generation, there's QR codes. All of y'all have smartphones, and y'all can just scan it, and then that's how we can, again, give you guys materials to keep helping you want to reach people for Jesus Christ. So, again, just want to let you guys know that. And also, comment? I do. And so that's the calendar. Amen. Next Thursday, our soul winning is postponed because, as I've been sharing with you, church, to keep me in prayer, I've been invited to share a message with the a Baptist college for their students that are training for the ministry this coming Thursday. So if you want to join my wife and I, let us know ahead so we can carpool to support me, if you will, show some love. But if not, pray for me that I could be used of God to be an encouragement, if you will, to the brethren up there in Laverne. I'm looking forward to that. So just keep that in prayer. And then, of course, most importantly, the empty seats you see around you, those that are not here, pray for them daily. You guys can see here on our church prayer tab, submit a prayer request. That QR code, that's what it does. It redirects people so they can submit a prayer request. If you have a prayer request, please submit that below. And then last but not least, church, if you are a member of this church, I hope you are, please remember the command. Don't forget to purpose on your heart whatever you desire to give of your financial support to this church ministry to support our needs. You know the verses. I can remind you all the time right here, 2 Corinthians 9, 1 Corinthians 16, Philippians 4, 19. There's a bunch of them. You already know. Just know it's a matter of the heart. So how much does God mean to you? God promised you to provide your need. My wife and I read that in our devotion, 2 Corinthians 9, right, Katie? That God will provide for you for every good work. But if you're not giving and you're not maintaining that, if you will, balance between you and the Lord, no wonder why some of y'all are struggling financially. I'm just telling you, that's what the Bible says, amen? So if you guys want to get out of that, why don't you just start obedient and just start giving to God. Give to the Lord what you purpose. Let him know how thankful you are for salvation. Support your church with your finances and watch how God will then move in return for you in those areas, if you will. Amen. So back there in the box, we have online as well. Venmo, PayPal. That's right, brothers. We're getting digital. Amen. So y'all can do it. We just don't accept pesos. All right. We don't have a currency exchange right now. So sorry about that. USD. Amen. US Dallas. Galatians chapter 4. Would you turn your Bible there with me? Galatians chapter 4. Let's go ahead and pick up in our study that where we left off here in verse number 11. Galatians, the fourth chapter, verse 11. I'll try my best to pick up where we left off here, amen, and then we're going to continue in our notes from where we left off, if you will, Sundays ago. A couple of weeks since we've been back in our Galatians verse-by-verse study. Let's go ahead and go through it now, amen. Galatians chapter number 4. Verse number 11. Let's go ahead and read through the verses, and then we'll open up with a word of prayer. The Bible says here, I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first, And my temptation, which was in my flesh, you despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record that, if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy, because I tell you, they zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Let's pray. Father, once again, we come before your throne of grace. Lord God, I need your help to be able to minister to these people. I need your help to be able to give these congregants the scriptures just as they are. And it is my hope and prayer, God, as their pastor, that today their heart and their spirit would be willing to believe the scriptures once again, to stir them to want to serve Jesus, to stir them to want to give themselves wholly, as the hymn says, to Jesus. Today, God, I don't know the personal struggles of each member. Only you do know, Lord God. You know the hearts. All I know is the conduct. All I can say is what's going on in the outside. But God, you know what's going on the inside. Today, may your Holy Spirit take the living word of God and minister to their spirit. And aside from my human error and my presentation, I pray, God, that you would talk to your sons and daughters here today. Let them know, God, what they're doing that's right. Let them know what they're doing, what's wrong, that you want them to get right or do more of or to do better of, so they can glorify you with the faith of Christ that they have now. So, Father, strengthen every single member of this church to be more faithful to Jesus in serving him and loving others. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just want to quickly remind you guys of the context of what's going on. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 through 7 is a general application to Jews. Although they're the sons of Abraham physically, they still required the need to be born again. That is, they needed to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, just like Gentiles. So the Old Testament law, the works of the law, it wasn't going to take away sins from their soul. They needed to be born again. Verse 8 onward is a general application to Gentiles who knew not God. And yet, verse number 10 and onward, there is a struggle. There is a push, if you will. There is a cultural battle to try to get Jews to go back to Judaism. And likewise, there is a struggle and there's a push to get Gentiles to go back to their former living. If you go back earlier with me in Galatians 4, look with me in verse number 9. But now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? There's a struggle within Gentile converts to want to go back to living the way they used to, with their cultural celebrations, the religious celebrations, the idols, if you will, idolatry, etc., etc. And there's also a push for these Jews to want to go back to the law of Moses, go back to the need for circumcision, go back to the need for observances of times and seasons and Sabbaths and all those things. But that's not the substance, the Bible says. Jesus Christ is the substance. He is the only one who can save sinners from their sin. No amount of works from the Old Testament, I already showed you guys that in depth. No amount of good works for the Gentile, already showed you that in depth. It's Jesus. But here's why Paul is so saddened by these Christian converts, because he said that perhaps all of his discipleship was in vain because they didn't repent, because they didn't want to give up those desires. They didn't want to give up those things, that the way they used to live and all the excuses. They didn't want to serve God with the same exact energy they used to serve their former gods and their former cultures and their former family times and celebrations and all that for Jesus Christ. Look at verse 10. Ye observe days, months, and times, and years. Look at what he says. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Very sad. We talked about that last Sundays ago, where it's sad when a Christian leader looks at his disciples and doesn't see change over time. It's just like Paul right here to these Galatians. Brother and sister, I've been teaching you for 2 to 3 years now, and y'all still haven't gotten a hold of this. What's going on? Amen. There's a struggle between you and Jesus. It's not a lack of Bible. It's not a lack of if you will, scriptural access between you and a church or some commentary. It's a lack of obedience. It's a lack of you and your love for him to want to put him ahead of everything else in your life. So today, friend, that's what we're talking about. Turn your Bible now to Galatians chapter number 5. Let's contrast this now to understand who we were before Christ, that is, before we were converted, and who we are now are in Christ. That is, there was an old man, the first birth that you inherited from your daddy, Adam. It doesn't matter if you're dark shade melanin, light shade melanin. It doesn't matter if you're Mexicano in origin and Americano in origin. The bottom line is that you and I are sinners because we've inherited sin from the very first man, daddy, Adam, from a long time ago. Let's contrast now the liberty that we have in Jesus, because we've been given something way more powerful than our first birth nature. That's the Holy Spirit. Let me share that with you now. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Verse 1, the Bible says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So today, friend, I want to let you know that Jesus Christ, when you got saved, he gave you enough power to resist sin. He gave you enough power to say no to serving your flesh, serving darkness, serving family and friends and culture and customs. He made you free. But it's up to you to stay in this freedom. If you want to get off this freedom tab, if you will, if you want to get off this freedom stage, if you will, then that's your fault. And you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to entangle yourself again. It's like the entangling of cords. You already know somehow, some way, our phone charger cords, they get tangled up. Our electrical cords, they get tangled up. But the same way they got tangled is the same way that they can get untangled. You have to get your hands, you have to get on your knees, and little by little, you have to begin to straighten out everything that's going on to detangle that mess. Friend, I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ gave you power to detangle yourself from sin, sinfulness, and laziness and carnality. You just got to want to. Look at what he says here in verse number 2. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. So for the Jew who thinks honoring Old Testament laws are going to make him more spiritual, it ain't going to do a dang thing for you. Same thing for you, Gentile. You think avoiding certain things in your life are going to help you to be more spiritual. That's not Christ. That's not Scripture. Ain't going to profit you nothing. Look at 3, I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. So for some reason, these folks who think that the law or honoring the works of law or the customs and the commandments of the laws given to one people, the nation of Israel, not all the Gentiles, but one people, God commanded them that they were a debtor to do it all. But the Bible told you in James 2:10 that if you failed in one point, you failed in all. That's why it's impossible for man to be justified by the works of law. Now look at verse 4. Look at what it says here. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Notice, he doesn't say that you don't know him. He doesn't say that you're not saved. He just says that this Savior is not having an effect in your life because of this heart. And so when you begin to turn your heart from the Savior, notice, he's not having an effect in you and through you, but he wants to. You don't want to let him, and that's why you're being entangled again with what? Bondage of the weak and beggarly elements of your former past life, if you will, but you don't have to live there anymore. You don't have to stay over there. You can get out of there anytime. So look at verse number 4. Christ is becoming no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. It's a sad thing when Christians want to go back to observing Old Testament laws, mainly for the Jews in context. But look at verse 5. We, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ, notice the position, that's the born-again Christian, in Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith, which worketh by what, church? Anybody reading their Bible with me today? Verse 6, anybody? By love. You know what changes your life? Love for Jesus. You know what begins to sanctify your life? Love for Jesus. You know what begins to redirect your time from family and friends and culture and customs and observations? Love for Jesus. Notice, they're saved. They're positioned in Christ. Look, in Christ, the works ain't going to profit you. All these outward things ain't going to profit you. But what will profit you and what will help you and what will let Christ have an effect in you is faith working by love. So what is he going to ask? Something hindered you. You allowed someone or something to get in between you and Jesus that is hindering you from walking after him, from following after him, from serving him. What is that? Look at verse number 7. You did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? What is that today in your friend, Christian? What is that today in your life, Christian? What or who is hindering you from obeying Jesus Christ today, friend? You have been made free. You have been born again. You have been given a new nature. You are a new man in Christ. But today, friend, I just want to ask you again, who or what is hindering you? It's not Christ. It's not a lack of Holy Spirit. It's not a lack of Holy Bible. You got plenty of Holy Spirit, brother. You got plenty of Bible, sister. It's something going on with your faith. There's a lack of love going on. So now look at with me. I know we got a lot of distraction. Try your best, church, to focus. Look at verse 8. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. It ain't God in your life, friend. There's something in someone else that's distracting you today. The Bible says in verse number 9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Now I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. If Paul went along with all this false doctrine, he wouldn't be called out by these Judaizers, but he's going to keep preaching the truth. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, look at what it says in verse 13, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. But here it is again, look at what it says. But by what? Love, serve one another. So what's the motivation? What is the power that you've been enabled with in Christ to be able to serve him appropriately and to be able to be a benefit to others around you? It's love. It's love of Christ. And it's your love for him that's going to compel you to want to serve him. But you see the problem now? It's not a lack of Christ in you. It's a lack of your love for Christ from you. Look at what the Bible says. All the law is fulfilled in this one word. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So what's the difference now, Brother Carlos? What are you trying to tell me? Before I got saved and after? You've been given the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the what? Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm telling you what the Bible says, Christian friend. You can have victory and you can have power over your flesh if you walk in the Spirit of God. If you obey the freedom that Christ has given you in his strength and his power through his scripture. But today, friend, the reason why you find yourself lacking and fighting and struggling, whatever that might mean between you and God, friend, I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to judge you because I got Brother Moat. Amen. You already know, Brother Carlos, I'm going to put myself first. It's not a lack of Christ in you is what I'm trying to tell you. It's not a lack of the Holy Spirit in you is what I'm trying to tell you. It's not a lack of you don't understand the Bible, brother. It's too difficult. No. It's a lack of love for him from your heart. He gave you the ability. He gave you the freedom. You just don't love him enough to trust him to do what he says for you to do. Amen. Look at what it says. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's the key. That's the key. Look at verse number 17. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. There's a battle going on. There's a war taking place between your old man, the old nature, and the new man, the new nature. It's not your spouse. It's not your government. It's not the black man. It's not the white man. It's not the poor man. It's not the government. It's not your culture. It's not the lack of money in your pocket. It's not the workplace. It is sin in you. But you have power over that sin in you. And who is that power? The Holy Spirit. So when you give in to that flesh, you're only telling God, God, I chose not to use the power today. God, I chose not to enjoy the freedom. You know that freedom stage that Brother Carlos was talking about? I didn't choose to stay here. I got off and I came back over here because I wanted to do some fleshly things over here for a little bit. You don't have to. Bible says in 18, if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. You see, being born again is more superior than trying to keep rules or commandments is what he's trying to tell you. Because you have the living source. You have the living person dwelling in your heart. The one who can get in there and the one who can help cleanse you. He can purify your mind and your heart. Things that religious commands cannot do for you. You see, there's nothing wrong with having goals in your life. There's nothing wrong with holding yourself accountable and saying, brother, you need to read 5 chapters today. You can keep yourself accountable. Nothing wrong with that. But that's not going to help you. It's love for him that's going to help you. You saw it. You saw it. Verse number 22, you have the Spirit of God. Look at verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, contrasting the works of the flesh. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, how many of you guys are born again? How many of you guys trusted Christ? Raise your hand. Anybody here? Then you're in him. Now you need to what? Walk in him. Anybody here? So you have him. He has you. He's in you. But are you walking in him? Are you putting into practice the power that he gave you? If you're not, then that's the problem. So friend, after conversion, we are filled with the Spirit who enables us to walk and to live and act like the Son of God as adopted children. The Spirit was sent to dwell within us, but we must yield to him. We must walk in him. And then, listen, friend, after our submission, he will help us to be led of him. He will help us to live and to walk in him. Look at Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3. Hope you have a Bible open here at church. Amen. Amos chapter 3. Make sure what Brother Carlos is showing you is from the Word of God. Amen. I don't got time for dreams and feelings and all these little silly things the modern brother want to tell you about. I'm just going to give you a scripture. Amen. Look at Amos chapter 3, verse number 3, and then we'll give you some practical on this. Amos 3, verse number 3. The Bible says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" I understand that some of you might have problems and your relationships with others around you. I understand it's difficult to try to have camaraderie with somebody who doesn't want to have camaraderie with you. I understand it's difficult to try to have agreement with someone who doesn't want to walk with you in the same direction. But before you think about a problem we have with another human on this earth, you know, clay and dust, that's all we are. We cannot walk in agreement with Christ if we are not being led of his Spirit. We cannot walk in agreement with Christ if we are not yielding to the Spirit, if we are not denying ourselves to submit to God to obey his word. Only then, when I'm living in the Spirit, will Christ and I walk in agreement. For either I will yield to the flesh, the old man, or to the Spirit, the new heart that he gave me, the new man. Both are my choices to walk after. I cannot please Christ when I'm not walking in the Spirit. When I choose to disobey the Word of God, the Holy Spirit desires to deliver me from my sins, but he will be frustrated when we choose not to let him help us with our sinful nature. Some of you guys are parents, and you would try to clothe your kids. It's very difficult when your little baby boy or little baby girl is struggling and fighting to just let you put that shirt on their body, and then once you get it on, that's it. It's real easy. Some of us are like that little kid. God is trying to clothe you, friend. But you know what you're doing? You're struggling with him. You're giving him a heart wanting to just clothe you with that shirt. And you're resisting the Spirit of God from wanting to conform me and mold you. But you're like, no, I don't want you to put that shirt on me. No, I don't want you to do this. So what are you doing? You're frustrating him. You're making it difficult for God. Sounds crazy, but friend, that's what we're doing. So generally, again, the people of Galatia, religious background, some practice from Judaism, others from idolatry, spiritism, nature, and all that stuff, all of them still function within their society since their religious practice did not contradict or go counter to their society, their culture. Eventually, Paul will go unto those regions to preach. And even though Paul was physically weaker because obviously he was previously persecuted, he had some eye troubles. He had some physical infirmities, and yet the Lord told Paul, "My grace was sufficient for you." He operated solely by the power of the Spirit due to the physical weakness that he preached the gospel from. He taught and he emphasized the difference of living for Christ, not continuing to want to live as a Jew for lost Jews or Gentiles for lost Gentiles after they get saved. Jews ought not to live under Judaism. Gentiles ought not to live after the cultures and the peoples who know not God. Initially, they were spiritually zealous to live the new life. Let's go back to Galatians chapter number 4. Let's see what Paul said about these folks, how excited they were when they just got saved to want to read and want to learn and let Pastor Paul, if you will, just pour into them the truth, and they want to serve him and do all that stuff. Look at what he says in verse number 15. Galatians 4:15, he says, or no, look at verse number 14. "And my temptation, which was in my flesh, you despised not, nor rejected." So he had some physical infirmities. He had some problems in his flesh. It was difficult for Paul to travel to walk because, guys, he'd been beaten so many times. He had some eye problems, but Christ's power in him continued to lead him through it. So these people, when they received the gospel through Paul's preaching at the first, notice how excited they were from this man. They literally considered Paul an angel of God. They literally considered Paul like Christ himself because of how excited they were for Jesus, the gospel at the first. You know what Paul asked them? Where is then the blessing that you spake of? Where is that joy you had when you just got saved? Where is that emotion? Where is that excitement? Where is that zeal that you were just so excited to learn the Bible, come to church, get baptized, go soul, and start learning how to be a disciple? You know what Paul asked him? And you know what he reminds him of? He says, I bear your record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. He is reminding them of their initial joy that they had. Initially, they were spiritually zealous to live the new life. They were excited. But over time, the believers became discouraged of following Jesus because of their desire to maintain onto the former life, the former celebrations, etc., etc. Paul taught that those have no place in the life of a believer. Rather than denying the Savior, they reverted to denying their teacher. In this case, Paul. These believers who at one time were willing to give him their eyes. Look at what he said there. They were willing to give him their life, you know, loyalty and submission to their pastor. They began to backslide on Paul and forsake his teachings and to deny him in any manner of living. It didn't help that Peter lived contrary to the gospel. Remember that, Galatians 2, before their lives, which removed them from obeying the truth. Some of them were moved and they were concerned with what Peter might say versus what Paul might have said. Their forms of Christian conduct, their practice, their methodology, those are issues that you're going to see if you're not staying focused with what we see from the clear teachings of the apostles. In this case, in application, your pastor. The issue would rise because Paul taught superior loyalty to Christ versus their lost family members, their lost friends, and their culture. Because acceptance with Christ is superior than acceptance with family or the world. Likewise, when we who seek to obey the commands of the Bible, for example, evangelism, soul winning, discipleship, wanting to make more time to be at church than the parties and all that stuff, you will eventually be denied or rejected by some other, perhaps, professed believers because they don't want to live the same way that you want to live. Let me talk to you a little bit about the manner of living. Do you know that it's biblical to follow after the manner and traditions set forth by our New Testament apostles when their conduct does not contradict the uprightness of the gospel and their love for Jesus? Turn your Bible now with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Do you know that it's okay to follow, in application now for you today, your pastor's tradition, your pastor's manner of living, if it doesn't go contrary to walking upright according to the gospel, because Paul had a manner of living, and that manner of living had an effect upon his disciples, and that's what caused him to want to live like that. Today, it's okay to follow your pastor when he's encouraging you to be evangelizing and go soul and commit to serving Christ, commit to discipleship, commit to living like this, give up those entertainments, give up the movies and the music that's distracting you from your reading your Bible. And it's okay to follow that example of the brother here because we're all still trying to follow Christ. That's a good thing to follow. I'm just going to share with you today. It's biblical. It's all right. Look with me now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's go to verse number 5. The Bible says here, for our gospel, so much for the Paul-only crowd, our, how about that? There's more than one people that can have a personal connection with the gospel. Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. So when these brethren went over there with Paul to go preach the gospel to the folks in Thessalonica, what did they witness? They not only heard the gospel, but they saw the way they lived. They saw the way they conducted themselves. They saw their manner of living. And that also had an impact on how they would regurgitate back to God in living after Christ. Look at verse number 6. Ye became followers of who? Us. There you have it. It's all right to want to be like Brother Carlos if Brother Carlos is following Christ. It's okay to want to emanate, if you will, your Christian leadership because they're following Jesus. They're leading by example in how we dress and how we conduct and how we manage our time and give. And it's all right. It's all right. You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Can you believe that, friend? These Thessalonians, they were listening to the preaching and the teaching of the apostles and their disciples, even when they were going through difficult times in their country at the time that they were living. Some of us can't even get to church on time. Come on now. Some of us can't even come on soul winning on Saturday for just 1 hour, and you're not being persecuted by your country. Friend, you have a lot to grow in today, friend. You want to be more like Christ and the Christians? Look at the Thessalonians. That y'all gotta start stepping it up. Amen. Look at that. Much affliction. Verse 7. So that, notice what they said now. Because of how they responded to Paul, because of how they followed his example of serving and living, look now, so that ye were ensembles to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Guys, this little gathering of Christians in Thessalonica, they were an example to all the Christians in Achaia and Macedonia. You know who's in Macedonia? The Corinthians. So guys, this little church, we don't know how many. Let's just say for sake of discussion, maybe they had 50 members. This little group of 50 or 30 or 40. Guys, they had such a tremendous response to hearing the gospel, wanting to learn more, and then emulate Paul and his disciples on how to live for him, that church became an example to that church, and that church, they were impacted by this one church because of their willingness to obey, to follow the manner of living of their spiritual leaders. Look at verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in what? Every place your faith to God would have spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Church, it is possible for Simple Faith Baptists to be known as a church that loves Jesus, that is excited to serve him, that's zealous for good works. Man, that little church, they're so small, but they're out here door knocking every Saturday. They're out here soul winning every Saturday. Man, the mom brings her kids. We got the other folks bringing their kids. They're all doing it together. Do you know that your church can be an example to churches all the way up in Los Angeles, all the way in Mexico, all the way in India, if you follow the example? If you don't follow the example, then that's why perhaps your little congregation and then your personal testimony, it's not known unto others. So friend, please try your best to keep putting him first. Be excited because God wants to use your obedience as a testimony to encourage other Christians. Let me tell you this real quick. In Mexico, in a little church in Ensenada, they're not an independent Baptist church, but the Christians. They're the only Christian church on this mountain hill. They call it a colonia. On this colonia up here, there's little poor Mexicanos that are addicted to drugs. There's murder going on because the gangs, prostitution, all that. And that little church is right up there on the hill. They got some JWs, but we know the truth, amen. And they're the only light there. You know what they saw from us up here? Our little scripture signs. They saw that we would go downtown and go out there. Guys, you know what they did to make scripture signs? They got construction paper, they got markers, and they drew out their scripture signs, and that's how they emulated the example that we set for them, and they started doing that. My heart was moved. I told my wife, we're going to order them from the company. We got 10 for them in Spanish. If you would have seen how excited they were to get those signs and the chick tracks, guys, you know who's out there soul winning every Saturday? Brother Jorge and Brother Jorge's wife. You know how old Brother Jorge is? He's over 60 years old. You know how old his wife is? Over 60 years old. Pastor, over 60. Pastor's wife, a little less. She's like 50-something. Not a lot of the young people, a lot of the old people. Why? Because they love Jesus. They love him. And they're willing to do what other Christians are doing because we're following the example of the apostles. So guys, you can make an impact on somebody if you just remain faithful and yield, I'm telling you. Look at verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. How you what? Turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. What I want to share with you about following after the manner of men who are following Christ, what is the effect that it has? Look at what these folks had. It completely changed their life. They no longer wanted to serve their former gods. They no longer wanted to give time, give their money, and obviously live after the culture, the observations, the times, like a lot of Christians still do, entertaining themselves outside of Christ. You know what? You know what effect that their tradition and their manner of living had? It changed them. They don't want to serve those idols anymore. They want to serve the living God. They don't want to spend their money and their time wasting over here in things that are not going to profit. They want to get busy serving the true God. Today, friend, you can do the very same thing, but you got to fall back in love with Christ. And today, that's what Paul is telling them. He's warning them in Galatians 4. Let's go back now to our base text, Galatians 4. Look at what he says in our base text, Galatians chapter 4. He says here In verse 11, I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Man, I'm sad. I'm afraid that after all our discipleship, spending time with you one-on-one, teaching you the scriptures, showing you how superior Jesus is to your sin, your problem, how he can help you, deliver you. Man, y'all want to go back to that? Y'all want to go back to that old life? That former life out there where there's no prophet, there's shame, there's no Christ out there. He's over here. There's light over here. There's darkness out there. Man, I'm afraid. He said in verse 12, brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not entered me at all. I shared with you about that, right? Their carnality didn't compel them to want to quit on them. Christians have quit on me before, church. They said, brother, I'm leaving. I can't be with you anymore because they point out a flaw in my life. They quit because of a small thing going on. I haven't quit on them, though. Because I love him too much to want to quit on them because of a simple mistake or some immaturity in your flesh or some personality default. Guys, that's childlike. That's baby carnality stuff. If you can't just forgive somebody or forbear something going on, guys, we got a lot to grow. Amen. Look at verse number 13. He told them, you know how through infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel unto you at the first. He was hurting. He had bodily pain. He didn't give up on him. Keep going down. Look at what he says here in verse number 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be what? Formed in you. You know what he's telling them? Man, I gotta write to you guys again. I have to reteach you the gospel all over again. You're saved because you trusted by faith. You're saved because you trust the blood. You're saved because you believe Jesus, not your works. You're saved. But man, I have to rededicate you to him. I got to rededicate your heart and your profession to him because he's not formed in you. There's still a lack of fruit from him in you. You don't look like him, brother and sister. You don't look like him, daughter and son. So I got to come back again. I got to start from scratch. We got to go back to the basics. We got to go back to the basic thing about who he is and what he did for you. And again, what he offers you and how to start forgiving people. How to start forbearing people. How to start just being faithful to church. I got to teach you now the basics until Christ be formed in you. You know, it's sad that that's what happens to a lot of us. It's saved, but we lose love for Christ over time because of sin and everything else going around us. And it's almost like you got to be rededicated to Christ, they say. Not born again because you're saved. You're just being carnal. But they call it, I'm rededicating my life to him. And that's what that is a reference to. It's Christ being formed in you again because you just left him. You know, the first love. Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. I want to give you a quick application, friend. I want you to notice the manner of Paul's conduct that he told him there in 1 Thessalonians. Not just in word, but in deed. Application, friend, if your pastor and church leadership is following after Christ, they're maintaining biblical traditions and manner of living. You know what God said? You ought to submit yourself to such. We were talking about that, me and Brother Giovanni, in our Friday studies ago, 1 Corinthians 16, 16. You ought to submit. Now look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's go down to verse number 10. Look at what Paul told Timothy now. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Hey, Timothy, you know me, bro. You know what I teach, man. It's not a big deal. You know my theology. It's not a big deal. You know my methodology. You know my purpose of wanting to be in your life. You know how I care about you. You know how I want to be like a father to you. You know my faith for Jesus. You know my patience. You know my love for Christians, my charity. You know my grace. You know, look at verse 11. I've been through persecutions. You know I've had afflictions, Timothy. You know when I went to Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, man, what persecutions I'd endured. But you know, the Lord delivered me. I'm just paraphrasing. Look at verse 12. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall what? Suffer persecution. Are you living godly? If not, no wonder why you ain't suffering for Christ. Because you're not living godly. If you live godly, you're going to go through some things. Look at verse 13. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Guys, the world is getting worse. All right. It's not a matter of what's going on out there. God is more concerned of what's going on in here in my heart. He doesn't care the affairs of all the Gentile nations and nuclear wars and threats and inflation. No, He cares about your heart, about you looking more like Jesus. He wants to help you still with bitterness and anger and commitment and all those things on the inside. But look at verse 14. He tells Timothy, son, I want you to continue. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Notice here, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Friend, Paul's life, his manner of living, he told Timothy, son, I want you to continue with what I taught you. Son, I want you to continue with how I lived my life before you. I want you to remember, Timothy, who taught you, son? Who's been a pastor to you today, friend? I just want to let you know today in Application Church, it's okay if and when I come along your side. It's okay if I say to you, brother and sister, this is how I serve Jesus. I want you to follow me like this. It's okay if I come into your life and say, brother or sister, that's not how we serve Jesus. We don't serve him like that. We serve him like this. It's okay if I just come along your side and say, brother, like this, not like that. You know what Paul told Timothy? Hey, remember how I taught you. You know how I live my life. Be faithful. Be faithful. So friend, Galatians 4, what happened? They were being seduced by false teachers, chapter 2. They were being seduced by false doctrine, chapter 1. They were being bewitched, chapter 3. People were coming back in their life to pull them back to the old life, the old culture, chapter 4. But in reality, chapter 5 told you it's their flesh, their heart. Their love for God was diminishing. Their love for Jesus was diminishing. And today, friend, I just want you to notice, if you find yourself having to rededicate your heart to Christ, then do it. You're not having to confess to Brother Carl and say, I just need to make sure I'm born again, brother. Let me just confess the doctrine. No, no. I'm not asking you to repeat if you trust the blood and all that. No, no. If you find yourself lacking love for Christ, then rededicate your heart today to Christ. Make a confession. Make a commitment to raise your hand and say, Brother Carlos, pray for me. I want to serve Christ faithfully. I want to serve him joyfully. I want to serve him through affliction like the Thessalonians. I want to serve him when I got problems going on over here, like the brethren that you see in these epistles. If they can do it, I can do it, man. Brother Carlos, I don't want to put my family first anymore. I don't want to put my life first before anymore. I don't want to put my culture and my former lives first. I want to put Jesus first. Today, friend, you can rededicate your life to Christ if that's the case for you. I'm just telling you that it's better. It's more rich. There's more joy. There's more happiness when you're serving him faithfully. But love. Because if you're not doing it for love, then you're doing it out of your flesh. It ain't going to last long. Make sure you're doing it for love. Turn your Bible now with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Bible still good? Anybody here? Y'all still love Jesus? All right. Let's keep reading this Bible. Amen. That's all I'm giving y'all. I'm just giving you his word. Amen. I'm just giving you the source, the power that's going to help you, that's going to heal you, that's going to keep you going, that's going to keep you motivated, that's going to keep you fueled, if you will. Amen. If you find your spiritual gas tank low, fill up today. Bible's good. He has plenty to give you. Amen. It's only going to be received through love, though. You got to love him. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 9. Some of you, I don't know if I can say this about you, though, in love. Some of you I can, but let me read it, and you understand what I'm saying. Wherefore we labor. Can you say that? Can you say, Brother Carlos, I'm laboring? If not, why? Christ already provided for you everything. Holy Spirit, Holy Bible, new heart, new life, but your love for him, that's the thing that's battling. That's the thing that's making you struggle between laboring for him. But for those who us who are, here's what it says, wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of who? Him. You know why I implore you and I beg you and we call you on Saturday mornings and we try to get a commitment out of you Friday nights and Wednesday nights if you're going to show up, if you're going to come with us? Because you're going to stand before Jesus Christ one day. and he is going to judge you at the judgment seat of Christ. And your life will either be what? Accepted, or it'll be rejected. You're there because you're saved by grace through, say with me, faith. You know that. You know the gospel. But are you going to be commended of him for your labor for him? Is Christ going to reward you for all the love and labor that you held on to his commands when your spouse wasn't, your family wasn't, your church members weren't? Did you hold on to the command to love him and to serve him? And by faith, what does it say? By love, by faith, working, serving others, etc. Will he accept you, friend? God forbid, if you were to die today as a Christian, and after the rapture, the judgment seat of Christ, are your works going to be accepted? I just want you to think about that. Because guys, 2023, some of y'all haven't seen you one time. Guys, it's time to start laboring. Look at verse 10. For we must all appear before the what? Judgment seat of Christ. I ain't going to be there. I will not be with Christ judging you. It is you and your Savior by yourself. That's why this is not a Brother Carlos thing. This is not an independent Baptist thing. And this is just what we do all the time. No, guys, this is what we do for Jesus. He said that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done. Are you ready now? Let's read it together. Whether it be good or bad. How about that? Right now, you can wallow in your miry. You can stay with your emotions. You guys can entertain your flesh until the rapture. But you're going to lose out reward. You're going to lose out joy that you can have for eternity. Or you can get a hold of those emotions. You can surrender to Christ who will deliver you from that and give you the power over your will. And you can have joy supernaturally that God's Spirit will give you when you're laboring by love other, you know, for others and witnessing and doing all those things. You can receive good. But how you serve him daily is what's going to be a reflection of that. Every Christian is going to be judged by Jesus Christ at the judgment seat, and they're going to receive either good or bad. So y'all better be ready. Y'all want more good? Serve him more in love. You want bad? Make excuses. Tell him why your problems were more important than his love. Tell him why your spouse and your family, your government, your culture was a little bit more requiring of your time and your money than his love for you. Verse 11. Knowing therefore the what? Anybody here? Terror of who? The Lord. We persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. Guys, you are not going to hear that in your contemporary churches today. That's why Bible-believing teaching is not popular. But guys, you're going to be judged by Jesus one day. That's going to be a terrible thing to stand before the sinless Lamb of God, to look him in the pure eyes that he has, and for you to finally be known as you are before the living God in redemption, and for him to expose to you who you truly are that no one else can see, and all this time and grace it is given for you to live another day and another day and another day to do something for him, and all of a sudden you just wasted it because of everything else under the sun, Galatians 5, the flesh, blah, blah, blah. You know what Paul said? It's a terrible thing, guys, that I'm telling you, I'm warning you, I'm persuading you. Jesus, here's what he's going to do. Love him, put him first. Labor, it's sacrifice. Living sacrificial Christianity. Remember that message? You know, before we close, let me leave you with some thoughts. Some of you have employee reviews. Some of you have a sit-down with the manager or the supervisor, and they go over your performance. Anybody know what I'm talking about here today? Amen? One day, you're going to stand before Jesus, and you're going to have a review of your spiritual service. He's going to evaluate you, my friend. You're not going to be graded. Your works are going to go through this supernatural fire, whatever that looks like. And whatever comes out of that thing, that's your due reward for eternity. How much does he mean to you today, friend? It's going to be exhibited by your conduct and your service for him. Let me leave you with these last notes. Luke chapter number 8. Let's go there. Luke chapter 8. Remember what Jesus taught about the soil and the good seed? Remember what he talked about? That when that seed is scattered, you know, people are casting on that seed. Sometimes the seed falls on stony ground. You heard about that. Some seed falls on on, you know, the thorns and thistles. Remember that? Some seed falls on good ground. Remember that story, the parables, if you will. You can read that in Mark 4, Luke 8, and there's another one in Matthew. I don't have the reference now. But I want you to see something very important, and I hope that this kind of combines everything that we talked about here today, that has always been a matter of the heart. Look with me now in Luke chapter number 8. Here's what he says in verse 11. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the what? Word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So unbelievers, every time they hear about Christ, there's an opportunity, but they don't want to respond more, and I'm going to show you why. The devil comes around. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. Got too hard. You know those commands that Jesus taught, too hard. You know the way that those apostles taught, got a little too hard. You know the way that pastors expected me to do so much, it got a little too difficult, I'm falling away. Now you know. Rock hard. Verse 14, which fell among thorns are they which, when they go, I'm sorry, when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. So the seed is there. They bring a little bit of fruit, but notice what Jesus said, not to perfection. Not to the capacity that they could have, because they got choked with cares and pleasures of this life. But here it is, look at verse 15. But that on the good ground are they, which in an what? Honest and good heart, having heard the word, what does it say now, church? Keep it. There it is, friend. Bring forth fruit with patience. Brother and sister, could this be the reason why some of y'all ain't producing fruit? Because your heart does not want to keep the commands of Christ? Because you don't have an honest heart? Because your heart is choked out with the cares of this life and the pleasures of this life and everything else, and you don't want to keep the word? You know you can. You don't want to, and that's why there's no fruit. You know what Paul told those Galatians? Man, I'm going to rewrite to you. I'm rewriting to you until Christ be formed in you. Today, friend, as we go back to our basics, we're coming to a close. I want you to think about where you stand before God. I want you to consider your state before God. You could be saved, but how's your state? How's your relationship with Him? How's your love for Him? Are you allowing yourself to be entangled again with the affairs of this life? Do you find yourself caring for things other than Jesus' desires and the things that He cares about that is choking the word from producing fruit in your life? If so, then you might be like a Galatian believer today, where Paul is writing to you, little children, of whom I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Guys, don't be surprised when your Christian leadership begins to be a little concerned and worried. Man, where you been all this time, brother and sister? Y'all haven't been producing fruit. What's going on? Haven't seen you sowing. Haven't seen you show up for discipleship. Haven't seen no rigor, no desire, no fervor to want to serve Jesus. What's going on? Do we need to rededicate some things in your life from the basics? Do we need to reteach you about how you use your hands for Him? How you use your feet for Him, you know, your ears and your eyes? Do we need to go back to the basics? It sounds silly, but guys, look at what he said. I'm calling you children, not brother and sister. There's some youthfulness that you guys kind of regurgitated back to. Do I need to come back and teach you the basics until Christ be formed in you? So today, friend, what I want to leave you with, look at verse number 16, Galatians 4. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Brother and sister, in love, please do not consider me or any brother or sister in your life that is constantly reminding you of the Word of God, the truths of God. Do not consider them an enemy, because we are being motivated by love to remind you. That's Galatians 5, Titus 3. Y'all remember that. When people want to zealously affect you, they want to become a hindrance and a stumbling block, they do it, but not for your good. You can read that in verse 17. It's always good to be affected in a good thing, verse 18. But in the end of the day, I just want you to consider, where's your heart at? Is Jesus there? And then other things that are first place in your heart? If so, you have a chance today, before we take the Lord's Supper, to rededicate your life. That's what you need to do. Rededicate your commitment. To just come back to God and say, man, God, I know I've been saved about a year, maybe two, maybe three. Man, I got baptized, God. I was so excited in the beginning. But Lord, whatever is in me that is hindering my joy, my zeal, like I used to go someone, like I used to show up for discipleship, like I used to want to just be about the business and be joyful with the brethren. God, whatever that is in me, God, would you help me to rededicate that so that way I can use these hands again for you, these feet again for you, this money again for you. You understand what we're saying? So church, let's go ahead and close the word of prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Giovanni if he can help out distribute the elements to us today. And then I'm going to ask Brother Giovanni to say a word of prayer before we partake of the elements. I want to thank you for those of you that are tuning in online. May the Lord bless you. And I hope you have a great rest of your Sunday.